Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Had some showers around yesterday, typical summertime. Sunday, the first official day of fall, the autumnal equinox, which doesn't really mean a lot for us here. But anyway, we'll celebrate accordingly, I guess. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. 47 days, 18 hours, 45 minutes until the presidential election. I don't know if that's till the end of voting or whatever, but you figure 47 days. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. What about polls? How much can we glean from polls at this moment?
Well, we're getting to the point where the polls mean a significant amount, keeping in mind that at this point, we shouldn't be paying attention to the national polls. We should be paying attention to the state-by-state polls because it's an electoral college system. The other thing to keep in mind is don't pay attention to any one individual polls. We need to pay attention to the polling averages because any one poll can just be an aberration. But if you take all of the polls together, you start to put together a reasonable picture of how any one state is looking. So look at the polls altogether as an average and focus on state by state at this point.
I am mathematically challenged, Professor. So let me ask you this. When I look at a poll and it says Trump's ahead by one, Harris is ahead by one, but the margin of error is plus or minus three. Does that mean anything? I mean, I understand the margin of error, what it means, but I'm saying, does that really indicate that anybody's leading?
So it means that the candidate listed as having an edge is more likely than not to win, but you don't have a whole lot of confidence in it. Mm-hmm. So if you see Harris ahead by one with a margin of error of plus or minus three, or Trump is ahead by one with a margin of error plus or minus three, then if you have to bet, which you really don't, then you bet on whoever has a lead. Then that's how you bet. But don't put a lot of confidence in those numbers. That's basically what it means because you're looking essentially at a statistical tie. But the thing to notice is that when all of the swing states are going in one direction, that tends to suggest that that candidate has a lead because it's not entirely a state-by-state phenomenon. What tends to happen is that you have a set of factors that operate nationwide. So if all of the swing states are moving together, then you get a picture of what's moving all of the swing states.
So what is the situation with the swing states?
So what's happening with the swing states is they tend to be moving a little bit more consistently in the Democratic direction, basically because in a year like 2024, what's happening is that you have a Democratic president in the White House, but the Democrats have only held one term, and it tends to be two, then two. That's the general pattern. And the economy is actually sort of chugging along. I mean, if you look at Q2 GDP, the latest revisions were at about 3% for Q2 GDP. The economy is chugging along. We're about to get a rate cut from the Fed. And what that means is you have a reasonably good economy. The Democrats have won one but not two terms. That tends to favor the incumbent party. So that's the Democrats. And that means that things are moving a little bit towards the Democratic Party, not a lot. So we don't have a whole lot of confidence in this. And the polls are moving a little bit in favor of the Democrats, but it's still a close race.
Is there anything that we can glean from the non-swing states, any polls that show any movements that would indicate an undercurrent for either candidate?
Well, we don't really have a lot of polls on the non-swing states because it costs money to do polls, and the people who are conducting the polls aren't focusing on the non-swing states because there's not a whole lot to be done from it. So we have the national polls, and the national polls show Harris ahead by a small amount, not enough to be really big advantage, but nobody does extensive polling on California or Texas because we know that California will vote for a Democrat no matter who the Democrat is. We know that Texas will vote for the Republican no matter who the Republican is. So there's really nothing to be gained by presidential polling in the non-swing states. We have the national polling, and the national polling, you can sort of track that on a pretty consistent basis, and the national polling has been shifting a little bit more to the Democrats, as one might expect when the economy is doing reasonably well. But we don't really do a lot of polling on states that we can already predict, regardless of what the circumstances are, because we're not really looking at elections like the occasional blowout that we used to have long ago, decades ago, like 1964, 1984, where everybody knew in 1964 that Johnson was going to win. 1984, you had that blowout election of Reagan versus Mondale. We don't get those anymore. The country's just too close for that.
Is there any undercurrent of either something that would take precedent in terms of voters' minds that anybody's picking up on, whether it's the economy, whether it's abortion, whether it's something else that is going to determine the race?
The economy is the thing that's always there. Every election, the economy is there. The thing about an issue like abortion is that it's factored into everybody's party identification. Most voters are partisans. Party ID is the biggest determinant of vote choice. But what's already happened is that pro-choice voters are Democrats, pro-life voters are Republicans. So everybody's opinions on abortion has already been factored into their party identification. So whatever voters think about abortion is already built into their vote choice through party identification. And that's true for a lot of issues. On the other hand, the economy fluctuates from year to year, from election to election, and it's always a critical determinant of independent voters' vote choices. So that's the thing that we study as the thing that can move. I'm sort of stumbling over my word here, but that is what shifts, and it's not built into party identification as a stable factor. Everything else is either built into party ID or it's just going to cancel out.
Well, let me take a break because I saw an article in the New York Times today. It is, I think, about AI, QAnon, and falsehoods reshaping the presidential race, and we know what's going on with Ohio and the pets and this and that and the other thing. So we'll talk about all that when we come back. Also, the second attempt at an assassination on former President Trump, does that play in any of this? Are there any, I guess, wild cards when it comes to the presidential race? We're talking with Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. You may know who you're going to vote for, and I'm sure a lot of people do, but I'm trying to see if there's any undercurrent there of people that might say one thing and then do another when they go to the polls, or possibly what's going to happen in those swing states and how many voters are we talking about? 150,000 people that are going to swing this election. 622 traffic now, WWL.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent.
I have a new podcast called The Varsity. where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
627, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We continue to count down to the presidential election with Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. All of the presidential elections are historic. All of them will change the country forever. How important is this one, Professor, given the level of, I guess, pardon me, division in the country? Your thoughts on that as a political scientist?
We always say it's the most important election, or somebody always says that. Some of the elections were less important. So, 1996, when they said it was the most important election, the best they could come up with was that whoever won would be president when it became the 21st century, which was not a very good argument. Mm-hmm. This is probably pretty important when you look at the ideological division between the candidates and the parties. The division between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, the division between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party right now is quite big. And that means that there are dramatic policy implications to who wins. It's hard to say that this is the most important election when you consider, let's say, 1860. Just as a point of reference.
Yeah, that was pretty important.
Anyone who wants to say this is the most important election in history needs to remember times like 1860. But considering how far apart Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are on policy, this is certainly more important than, for example, 1996, when we sort of had the post-Cold War era of relative peace and prosperity.
I'm always looking for an edge, something flying beneath the radar. You see any wild cards out there, Professor, something that maybe the pundits are missing?
If I knew it, I would be placing bets in the stock market about it.
Mm. That's interesting, too, about the economy, because, you know, inflation's bad, stock market's doing great. I'm still trying to get an answer on whether the economy's good or bad, and it depends on, I guess, who you talk to, just like everything else. Is it working for you? Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time, as always. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Let me ask you at 504-260-1870, how's the economy working for you? Inflation's eating me up, but I eat the same stuff all the time, so it doesn't really matter, I guess. I don't buy that many groceries to begin with, but the 401k is through the roof. So tell me, is the economy working for you or not? What grade would you give the economy as it works for you? We'll talk with Ramon Antonio Vargas when we come back about the Archdiocese and a settlement with abuse victims. Right now, it's time for WWL First News.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.